Welcome to Conversations with Owens Community College President, Dr. Dion D. Somerville. Welcome to the newest episode of the award-winning Conversations podcast. I'm Dr. Dion D. Somerville. Thank you for listening today. Whether this is your first time with us or if you're a longtime follower, we are so happy that you're joining us as we explore the issues and meet the people who are important to Northwest Ohio and to Owens Community College. Please enjoy our previous episodes and subscribe to Conversations to join us for future episodes. Today, I am so excited to welcome Laura Kropowski, Chief Executive Officer of TARTA, or the Toledo Area Regional Transit Authority. A graduate of Ohio University, where she earned her BA in political science, followed by obtaining her master's degree in public administration at Bowling Green State University, Laura has over 25 years of experience in the transit and community development fields. Laura currently serves as a board member at TMACOG, has secured close to $40 million in funding for TARTA, and was honored with a Leadership Ohio Award this past summer. Northwest Ohio is so lucky to have her return to the area, bringing her talents and knowledge to our community. Hi, Laura, and thank you so much for being our guest today. Hello and welcome to Conversations. Laura, I am so glad that you're joining us today.
Thank you. I am glad to be here and looking forward to the time together.
I am too. Thank you so much. Well, as an educational institution, one of the things we always ask our guests is, why did you pursue education beyond high school? What made you know that you needed more? What were your interests? What was that whole process like?
Well, basically, in my family, there was really no other choice. I mean, they drilled in college, university into myself and my brother. We were really fortunate to have not only our parents who had pursued degrees, but our grandparents. Mm. And my grandmother in particular, I mean, you think about her going to college in the 1930s. Mm-hmm. She went to University of Miami in mm-hmm. Oxford, where she met my grandfather. And they just talked about it like it was the best time of their life. She went on when my grandfather went to go fight in World War II. She had such a cool job. It sounded like she got a company car and she went around and she sold and helped women buy their new stoves or refrigerators.
That is really cool.
Yes. She was, you know, an enterprising saleswoman. She never kind of let that go. While she spent time later at home, she did go on to run her own interior design business. Mm-hmm. But I just, again, I was like, wow, you know, it's all I knew. In my family, on my dad's side, the same. Mm-hmm. And so it just was very natural. But then, like I said, I was like, oh, okay, this can give you a career. Mm-hmm. And I'm just someone who's always likes to be busy and trying new things. So mm-hmm. I was intrigued what path that would create.
Kudos to your grandmother, because, I mean, to your point, not a lot of women went to get education then. But, I mean, I think it also speaks to an enterprising spirit, the time of our history.
Yes, the Depression was real, mm-hmm. and my grandmother's family was hit hard. Mm. So she was able to go the generosity of a scholarship. Otherwise, that wouldn't have occurred. It does resonate with me thinking back in that time that for women to go to higher education was still not that common. Mm-hmm. And so to overcome the challenges of her family had lost much during the Depression and were really, at that point in their lives, low income. Mm-hmm. Her father had passed away. My great-grandmother was a housekeeper. Mm-hmm. And so it is very inspiring to think that both my grandmother and her sister were able to go. They both had careers and set a different path forward to the middle class.
Mm-hmm. What a trajectory. It really speaks to how higher education is a path to socioeconomic mobility, and it's been that way forever.
Right.
And it continues to be that most solid vehicle. And for your great-grandmother to have the foresight to make sure that her daughters had those kinds of opportunities is huge and speaks very much to the mission of public education, especially community colleges today. So that's incredible. You spent a large portion of your career after you graduated down in Central Ohio before returning to Toledo in 2020. Can you tell us a little bit about your college experience? Because you went to a couple of different places for a bachelor's and a master's degree, but then you went away and then you came home.
Sure.
Tell me about that process and what that was like for you.
Well, I'm a Mac girl. I went to two Mac schools. But we have fabulous public education mm-hmm. at the next level in Ohio. I mean, mm-hmm. so many wonderful, from community colleges, right, universities, so many options. So I went mm-hmm. to Ohio University in Athens, mm-hmm. Went there as a journalism major because I was going to be an investigative reporter and change the world and make a difference. And then I started taking these political science classes, and I thought, that's a really interesting way to make a difference and change the world. Mm-hmm. So I changed majors, and I think something that's interesting is that at that time, I was pretty fearless about doing that mm-hmm. without even knowing where that would take me. I just mm-hmm. knew that it spoke to me. Yep. I wanted to learn more. I was learning so much that I was unaware of. Global politics, local, state, all of it. And I do recall my father constantly saying, well, you're going to go to law school then? You're going to go in the Foreign Service? I said, I don't know. But it feels right. So, uh-huh. you know, I just want to stress that. Listen to your heart and what's speaking to you, mm-hmm. and it will figure itself out. But one way to help figure it out is to seek opportunities to kind of vet where does that interest take you.
Absolutely.
So I had a wonderful internship opportunity in a congressman's office mm-hmm. in the OU area, and I loved the constituent work. Really loved helping people with their problems. Mm-hmm. And just, it really spoke to me that government should be solution-oriented, mm-hmm. not red tape, not making things more difficult. And then the second experience was I thought, maybe I want to be a political science professor. So mm-hmm. I did a year-long senior thesis. And what I learned was, no, I don't. Because that is a lot of work. I have so much respect for those who have earned PhDs, like you, Dr. Somerville. I want to learn a lot about a lot. Mm-hmm. And so Bowling Green State University has a program, a public administration program mm-hmm. that is a wonderful marriage of practicality mm-hmm. and also learning, developing more knowledge and skills. So my experience at BGSU was phenomenal. A lot of great internships. I went into a specialization of small and local government. Mm-hmm. And I was intrigued with nonprofits too. So that's what got me down to Central Ohio mm-hmm. was the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission. It's okay. A commission of local governments. And I mm-hmm. thought, there I go. I can go work on local government issues. And when I showed up, they were like, yes, and you're going to work on one of our biggest local government issues, transportation. So,
and that was the beginning.
Yes. And in a time when Central Ohio, the population there was far different than what it is now, but it was already mm-hmm. starting to grow. So
absolutely.
They were hampered by the roads being congested, the transit system not having enough routes or service, and sort of the mismatch of where people live and how they get to places. Mm-hmm. You know, all of that just continued to be efforts and areas that I worked on. But I was also able to work on a lot of other issues mm-hmm. that always tied back to transportation, mm-hmm. environmental, energy, housing,
absolutely.
Land use.
Well, it's amazing how all that stuff is interrelated. And even, you know, some of the work that we've done together, obviously it's Owens, we want to get people to be able to go to class, but also recognizing that they have other aspects of their lives, right? They
right.
work, or they might have to go to childcare or whatever it is. And it's all interrelated, that you can't have gaps in transportation yet expect a very robust economy, or being able to bring people who may not have transportation or be able to drive. I mean, there's lots of reasons people don't drive. Whatever the reasons are, all of that is interrelated to your life.
I could not say it any better. I mean, maybe it's just like a little catchphrase that I'll use a lot is, you know, great cities have great transportation.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of that simple. If your transportation system is underfunded, broken, inadequate, you mm-hmm. will feel it mm-hmm. with residents not able to access jobs or mm-hmm. education or healthcare. And there's a reason why during the pandemic, there were a few organizations that never quit running, working, and public transit was one of those. And we were just talking, you know, about the pandemic before we sat down here. And to go back to that, which does feel so long ago, but yet we never stopped running service. Mm-hmm. I was always coming in, all of our administrative staff coming in the office, because it was week by week, day by day, hour by hour. What do we do now to get people to where they need to go? So we would adjust bringing back service, obviously during the pandemic, so that the routes that served hospitals and medical centers were absolutely running at their best capacity.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's amazing. And in the whole frontline perspective of people who work in transit, I think that, it has changed a lot of perspectives, and people realize how valuable and how integral it is to so many aspects of our lives.
Yes.
Yeah. I think one of the things that's wonderful about getting that experiential education is that sometimes it helps you codify the things that you love to do, and sometimes it helps you codify the things that you decide aren't for you. And so that experience, I think, is just absolutely amazing. But when you went to Columbus and you had all these great experiences, and where you got started in a lot of the community organizing and councils of governments and transportation, you made a conscientious decision to return back to Northwest Ohio. And what shaped that decision making for you?
Yeah. I had turned my career to full-time public transit. Mm-hmm. So in 2017, I was recruited to join the Central Ohio Transit Authority. And what was intriguing to me is that I would be going from working on some really big long-term projects at the Planning Commission to actually making things happen every day. Mm-hmm. And I was hungry for that. And during that time at CODA, we did things like we launched a bus rapid transit system. We also did future planning. We talked about smart transportation. Mm-hmm. And even though my area of responsibility was government relations, customer service, community outreach, comms, and marketing, I was suddenly getting really intrigued with, like, I like what those planning and scheduling folks are doing. We just did a whole redesign of our system, and I want to learn and be more involved with what they're doing or what our paratransit service. So to really be able to do that, I needed to find a system that was going to help me on that journey. And sometimes, you know, seeking that out may feel like, am I taking a step back because I'm going to a smaller market or I'm going to a smaller system? I disagree. I felt like I was taking a very big leap to accelerate my career in a different way. I was just fortunate that the CEO at the time at TARDA, who had come on board in 2019 when the TARDA board said, hey, we want to kind of turn this place upside down, inside out, and rebuild it. And we knew each other from the transit industry, and we were talking, and I just couldn't pass it up. I just thought, wow, this is a place I can learn and grow, but I can bring my talents and expertise. So when I came on board, it was with the understanding I was going to get to move into areas of operations. And ultimately, I did become the CEO, but the deputy CEO. I was just thinking, I'm excited. Give me that chance. But I will say, being able to come back to my own hometown, where fourth generation, Toledo Owen, my husband as well, I'm like, wow, there's something really unique and special to be able to do that, where you have those roots. The final thing is, I already knew from staying in touch with family and being back here in this region, there were things happening here that were not occurring when I was going to school at BG, SU. And that was around, you know, 1996, 95, 96. And I'm like, there is a unique momentum here. But transit was definitely lacking. No Sunday service. That was incredible. No holiday service. How in the world did we get there? But also, talking to people in the community, I mean, they had a passionate commitment to TARDA. They would talk so fondly about this muddy shuttle or other services. And I knew they did believe, meaning the residents, the leaders here, they really did believe public transit is a critical infrastructure role. Just how do we get there?
Right. Well, it's an area that's ripe with opportunity. And I think that people, you know, there's an accessibility that people are willing to, you know, come alongside and sit down and talk and figure out, you know, how do we brainstorm together on behalf of the region as a whole. And I think it's just, you know, what you experienced in terms of opportunity for you as an individual, but also opportunity for the region that you serve and the citizens in the region, you know, it just all converged for you.
It did. It did. And I feel like I have two hometowns. I have the Columbus and Toledo. But really, again, I felt that community work in Columbus, I was kind of hitting a ceiling. Mm-hmm. And I am someone, I think as I've shared in my past, like I feel like a lifelong learner, and that growth mindset is just embedded in me. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you need to not only look for the new career, but the new community place. And given my career was so community oriented, again, it just didn't feel like I'm not stretching and growing. Mm-hmm. It is very humbling, and it takes a lot of different skill sets. And I felt like coming back to Toledo, it was new to me. Mm-hmm. Been gone for over 20 years. And to figure out how to integrate into the community, how to make relationships, what's important. Wow.
That's an undertaking.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that I went outside my comfort zone to experience that.
Well, it's a faith in yourself. It's knowing that you have the background and skills and that have prepared you, but it's also the faith in yourself that you can, you know, make that start anew and for your hometown.
Right.
And so there's a level of pride in there, too, which is absolutely fantastic. As we think about who might be listening to the podcast, for students who might be listening, what advice do you give them about the transportation industry, but about careers in general?
Sure. There's no transit major or degree. You know, I think the closest thing to transportation is logistics or some of the engineering. And I think that, like public transit, there are many careers out there that people find that you don't actually go select a major and then pursue that path.
Right.
It's several experiences for sure. I do think that you need to be open. I'm dealing with this actually right now with my two children, one in undergrad, one in graduate school. And it's fascinating the pressure that society and others can put on young adults to say, know your life's path.
Right.
You know,
it's kind of unrealistic.
Isn't it? It is. And so I think that it's really important, like myself and the choices I made in my career is, you know, pursuing where your talents can be served and respected and utilized, but be curious and don't get too hung up on some of these contrived perceptions of what success is or the right path.
Right.
It's going to be different for everyone. Mm-hmm. It really is. As I look back, I was oftentimes the youngest person in the room as a part of people who were managers and higher. And it was difficult. And I think I had more anxiety about being taken seriously than anyone around the table. So I don't like the phrase fake it till you make it, because that doesn't help. But I think really believe in yourself. If you're at the table, you have a role to play, a voice to share, and take advantage of it, even if it's the connections you make and just listening to what's going on, but not getting hung up too much on the voice in our own head. And I look back and some things just kind of will also just naturally align themselves.
The things fall into place sometimes, don't they?
Yeah. I will say one of the scariest things, being at the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission for 20 years when the Transit Authority came calling. Even at that point, it was scary for me to say, am I going to leave? You know, I know everything here. I have to do it. I'm too comfortable where I am. And I'll still get to stay in touch with my colleagues there. And it was a good feeling to go somewhere else even though I was in the leadership team there, I really have to say I was starting at ground zero.
There's a belief in yourself. There's understanding that, you know, you want a continuous growth of opportunity. And, you know, one of the things that strikes me about you in your career is that you want to contribute. You know, at some point, you know, that contribution looks different from different seats or the kind of impact that you're able to have. And so being in a role that allows you a greater kind of scope of impact is something that you found as you moved through your career in the Columbus area as well as in the Toledo area as well.
Yes, yeah. I think that contributing impact, when I learned that joining TARDA meant we were going to, against all odds, try to be on the ballot, switch our funding source from property tax to sales tax, set up a whole new structure to serve all of
Absolutely.
Lucas County and the city of Rossford. I was like, I can't turn that down. Wow. I've never gotten to work on something of really what I felt was a serious, significant impact. And I learned so much. That's also a pay it forward. I take any opportunity to help other transit systems, even my former one in Columbus, COTA's on the ballot this fall, and others. I'll speak at workshops because it is hard work. It's gratifying, but change is hard for communities. I would never discount that opportunity. It was so impactful. And fortunately, we came out on the right side of things. But it was every day leading up to November 2021, that vote was, we didn't know which way it would go.
Right.
It felt very close. It ended up actually being much more affirmative. I think it was 56% to 44%. In 2021, we really weren't out of the pandemic.
Right.
But I thank the community so much for agreeing that that was the new vision, because we have avoided what so many transit systems now are in, a called a fiscal cliff. They did not keep up with their local funding source.
Right.
They became too reliant on the federal COVID relief funds, and now they're at a real serious crossroads of cutting back service, layoffs.
It's really incredible.
It is. And these are big systems and small ones. And so for what the, again, the voters of Lucas County and Rossford did wasn't just for that day, that year.
Well, they really kind of helped solidify and participate in a vision for what transit is and how it moves forward. Can you talk a little bit about that funding model and why it's so pivotal? Because it also kind of lays out the framework for TARDA moving forward, but also about how it is you serve the areas you serve.
So in Ohio, transit systems are locally organized. TARDA was the very first regional transit system in Ohio.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We were created in 1970. And most of the transit systems up until that point were still privately owned. For TARDA, it was Community Traction Agency, or they were just, you know, serving a very small population. And at the federal level, they were trying to get metropolitan areas to adopt these regional transit systems. So just think that TARDA's ahead of Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati. So it was 1971 we were created. So we have a board of 13 trustees, and they represent 8 local governments. And that's Lucas County, Toledo, Rossford, Sylvania, Sylvania Township, Ottawa Hills, and Waterville. And any other community could join TARDA. It would take a vote of their residents to approve that. So the structure, again, is really locally driven. And Ohio's transit systems are locally funded. The state has given us a lot of latitude to create these systems and fund them, so they have a much smaller portion of our funding. We don't really receive any funding from ODOT for operating, or very little, but we do receive about maybe 7-8% for capital investment. The bulk of our operating funds is the sales tax, local funding. So that's the structure that we have. There's mm-hmm. always pluses and minuses. Mm-hmm. You know, every state is a bit different. Mm-hmm. And so we were previously property tax, and I'm glad we've moved to a sales tax. It's a half of 1%, so mm-hmm. half of a penny, because I really feel that that means we're all paying into the system, mm-hmm. our users as well as those who are community supporters. Mm-hmm. I do feel very strongly that everyone does receive benefits mm-hmm. from our public transit system, TARDA. Right. I mean, a day can't go by that any of us didn't receive a good, a service, an interaction mm-hmm. that was made possible through transit. You go to the grocery store, maybe you drive your car there. That's fine. But I can bet mm-hmm. that there are workers in that grocery store who took TARDA to get to their job. So you can shop. Amazon, a great example. We can sit at home and our packages arrive. And I know very well all the people using TARDA to get out to the Amazon facility because mm-hmm. that's part of my route, my mm-hmm. my bus route. And that bus is full, full of those workers. So
as a prime member, I thank TARDA for that.
Yeah, sure. You are very welcome.
So then the funding model is sales tax driven, and it is those areas geographically that pay the sales tax that have the routes that are part of it.
Correct. And it is voluntary for communities to join a transit system. Mm-hmm. And so I think there are upsides mm-hmm. and drawbacks from that mm-hmm. because we both know, I mean, transportation needs, they don't see lines,
no.
city lines, township no. lines, county lines. They exist. And we have a lot of opportunities right mm-hmm. outside our service areas. You know, I think the upside is that local community involvement, and we've talked mm-hmm. a lot about that's been so critical to my career and my passion for work. In a perfect world, we could marry both of those. Mm-hmm. But I do think that this region is very aware of that tension. Mm-hmm. And we're all having great conversations. And I can certainly share at some point in our conversation about some of the work, you know, we're both doing in terms of studies and analysis.
Mm-hmm. You talked about the sales tax and how the routes are derived. And, you know, we know that for areas that aren't covered by that sales tax, we do have some challenges and some opportunities ahead of us. And that's a lot of the work that we've done together. And so our feasibility study with Trellis that was supported by the City of Toledo and Jobs Ohio talked about transportation as one of the needs that potential students in the City of Toledo in particular, which was the focus of our study, have, even though those challenges exist throughout our service district, Wood County, Hancock County, everywhere. And then you also are a partner with us on a Lumina-funded grant with mm-hmm. the Community Transportation Association of America studying that. And you also, TARDA, applied for and received a grant from the state of Ohio regarding workforce development and transportation for workforce. And so there's tons of opportunities ahead of us. And where do you see that going? What is it that we hope to get out of all of this preparation and planning and studies?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for the collaboration.
Oh, thank
Dr.
you.
Summer. I mean, since you've arrived, and I mean, it's just been always an open door and sitting around the table. I think what I'm looking forward to is we already sense this, that there is a disconnect mm-hmm. in certain areas of our region between mm-hmm. transportation and jobs. And they know it at the state level, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, for our study, the $400,000 that we were awarded from ODOT, I mean, if it wasn't for some of our local state legislators mm-hmm. Doing the advocacy work that they did to get that funding, we wouldn't be able to embark on right. such a study. What I am excited about for both of our efforts is now gleaning the data mm-hmm. that supports what we feel or what we're seeing, mm-hmm. the gaps. I think in both scenarios, I'm looking forward to the solutions mm-hmm. that they will bring. And I like being action-oriented, solution-oriented. Mm-hmm. So identify and understand the problem, but what are options for us and where do we need to go? Mm-hmm. And I think for our community leaders, business leaders, just residents, I think having those laid out to them is necessary, and they deserve it. So we're going to have a busy year.
Yes,
next
we
year. Developing all that, sharing that. I wish that we could just kind of remove lines, right, mm-hmm. and lines on the map to say, let's go where we need to go. But that's just not the reality of the world.
Right.
But the best thing is that we talk together, we work mm-hmm. together. Northwest Ohio is very collaborative.
Very much so.
I mean, and so you just named several different funding partners on your end.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned mine. I mean, wow, if we didn't have all of that, we'd still be probably just lamenting on the gaps and problems. But I think these are critical next steps
mm-hmm.
because we don't play for the short game. I mean, we're playing a long game.
Absolutely.
And it's kind of like college football, which I love to watch. And I feel like we're in the first quarter and,
yeah.
you know.
We're doing the necessary prep work and the groundwork to get where we need to go.
Yes.
Having said all that, what is it that you visualize as a vision for the future of TARDA and for the Toledo area and transit?
In the service area that we have today in Lucas County and Rossford, I do envision us adding more frequency to the fixed routes that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We did that earlier this year on our Route 2, which mm-hmm. goes along the Monroe Street corridor and was expanded into Oregon. First time ever City of Oregon had any public transit service. Incredible. Thinking of the amount of residents, businesses, organizations
That's
there.
That's exciting. Yeah.
And that route too, when you go places people need to go mm-hmm. and you add frequency, so you change a route from running every 60 minutes to every 30 minutes,
mm-hmm.
a beautiful thing happens. Ridership increases.
People actually
and
ride.
They do. And we have seen a 56% increase
mm-hmm.
on that. Just incredible.
That
so,
is amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So we have plans next year to start adding more frequency to more routes. And the long-term vision of frequency is to look at bus rapid transit. So mm-hmm. that is, it's not really a new service, but it's getting deployed a lot in Ohio and other places.
Mm-hmm.
People want 15-minute service. They want a lot of people, myself included, I wish we had light rail.
Mm-hmm.
Light rail is $1 billion project. And after that, it is hundreds of millions to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
Bus rapid transit is the way to get a light rail feel mm-hmm. at a bargain of a price.
What is bus rapid transit? Is that like
sure.
when you take the express?
Let's think about bus rapid transit from Sylvania, Flower mm-hmm. Hospital, all the way to downtown Toledo.
Mm-hmm.
You may only have 15 stations. They're not bus stops. They're stations with real-time digital information about
mm-hmm.
when that BRT is arriving.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have off-board payments. So you'd have ticket vending machines and validators. You may have larger buses. So again, it's staying on time so everyone can catch the bus,
mm-hmm.
see it every 15 minutes. So we have a lot of bike riders who
mm-hmm.
use TARDA. So you may have a large 60-foot bus that you just bring your bike on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And really important, dedicated lane. A lot of dedicated lane to the bus. And in areas that have done this, like in Cleveland on the Euclid corridor, they call
mm-hmm.
it the Health Line, the development that comes is not small.
Mm-hmm.
They, in their 20 years with the Health Line, have reached $1 billion
wow.
in development. Yes. And it was on a street that was no wider than
mm-hmm.
Monroe Street.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it gives a feel. People feel like they're riding
mm-hmm.
light rail. The boarding, it's seamless boarding. So mm-hmm. if you ride the Metro in D.C., you know, you don't have to step up into the Metro
mm-hmm.
car. Same with BRT. And it's a game changer for
mm-hmm.
communities in the way of economic development, ridership. So that is something we're very excited about. We're out talking to the community about
mm-hmm.
it. A study will really kick off in earnest in 2025 and take us a year to show us what are the corridors that make sense,
mm-hmm.
what are the type of people who will use this,
mm-hmm.
And That economic development piece, we are seeing our community partners of Sylvania Township, City of Toledo, they are very interested in that. And isn't that beautiful when you take transit? It's that integration. Yeah. But on a bigger picture and a longer timeline, I cannot see this region not having truly regional transit.
Right.
We took that first step. We went out to all of Lucas County. Rossford's always been with TARDA. But the job growth, let's be honest, it's really cranking in Wood County.
Absolutely.
The population growth. So however that is structured, and TARDA will support however that needs to be structured, I really do see, you know, in a 10-year window, and somewhere in between, that we acknowledge that and we give the transportation infrastructure that Wood County communities, employers need.
Well, we're very hopeful for that. We recognize that transportation and our connection in particular, Owens Community College being literally, if you're in your car, only 10 minutes from downtown Toledo, but if you do not have a car, you are transportation challenged to get out here. And so understanding what it is that TARDA does for quality of life, economic development, workplace development, same as what Owens does in terms of education and training that leads to those same outcomes, is hugely important for us. And I know I've appreciated your openness to the conversation. I remember when I realized we didn't have bus service to our campus, and it was just amazing to me to think that we had a college that in a suburban area that didn't have transportation that served it. I appreciate the partnership of being willing to go through the process, to have these studies, to look at it, through engaging stakeholders throughout the community and our public officials, and all of the processes that are needed to come back with the data for how this impacts all of us. And I think that's of huge importance.
Like you, it only took me 10 minutes from downtown, you're right, to get to the campus. And as I'm driving, I'm just looking at all of the businesses here. And that is our, I think, our secret sauce at TARDA that we need to talk more about in these environments, these suburban environments. Is that in these environments, we do serve workforce. We do bring people to jobs, and our workforce needs access to education.
Absolutely.
I mean, we are thankful for our partnership on the education side. We're going to be welcoming 11 electric vehicle buses next summer. We have to train up our workforce.
We're like, getting ready.
And we are locked arm in arm. And I know many businesses are that way. And so their workforce needs, and potential workforce, need to get to Owens. It's, I know, we're going to get there. We really are. And it's so much, we can get there farther and faster.
I can't agree anymore. I mean, the partnership piece of it is so hugely important. And the analogy of we're taking the steps that we need to in order to get to where our goal is, knowing that as that materializes, there'll be other things beyond that. But that's very huge and looming, and it's not a quick process.
No, it's not. And I also like to remind people public transit is part of our infrastructure network. And so you think about the time it can take to really have maybe robust broadband or upgrade electrical continuity, you know, water. It's no different.
Exactly.
And along with that, what's no different is when you attract these companies to Northwest Ohio, they expect it. I mean, back to that Amazon, I'll never forget in 2020, you know, they're going to open up by the end of the year. And I mean, just a bright light in a dismal year of COVID. And they were just beside themselves that we didn't run on Sundays because Amazon's open on Sunday.
Absolutely.
They need their workforce. And they actually asked us, what would it cost if Amazon funded the transit system on Sunday? And we shared that figure. They didn't go that route, but that just speaks to how important having access to public transit is to our business community and others.
Absolutely. I appreciate everything that you've done in the community. I mean, you talked about adding Sundays and holidays, and you look at some of the special events that happen downtown where you have special shuttles and the reminders, everything that you have. You know this because we've talked about it before, that as a young person, I rode the bus in Detroit. That's how I got to high school. That's how I got to summer jobs when I was in college, the whole bit. And I remember this one route in particular on Dexter, that there was sometimes an express. And if I could get out of my job fast enough and catch the express, oh my gosh, it was a whole different experience. My, yo, this really isn't bad at all. This is fantastic. So right. When you talk about the bus rapid transit, that's why I said, well, like an express, because it feels incredibly different. And to not have the stop and go, and, you know, it's right. old enough to when all the buses weren't air conditioned. I mean, it's all sorts of things. So it is absolutely wonderful, the innovation that you're bringing and the forward thinking and the community partnership and everything that you're bringing to TARDA. I'm so glad that you're here.
Well, thank you. And yeah, today's buses, I mean, besides air conditioning,
doesn't that sound terrible?
It does, but I hear you, you know. I mean, it's so we do have air conditioning, we have mobile payment, mm-hmm. we have monitors on our buses with the latest and greatest information, audio, so you know what stop is approaching, mm-hmm. and then all the similar tools on your phone. So mm-hmm.
I assure you, I did not write on a stone tablet when I went to school, because that's exactly what it sounds
No. But, I mean, we were just talking the other day about the need. Do we even really need to still print the schedules? Mm-hmm. Print the schedules, because that used to be mm-hmm. not so long ago. That was a big part of my communications budget. But everyone is on their phone. And I always love to hear the stories of leaders and others in our community who fondly remember mm-hmm. their public transit experience. There's mm-hmm. not anyone who has grown up who was dependent on that as an mm-hmm. important mode of transportation who has anything but something positive
Absolutely.
To say. And think about the independence it gave you. Mm-hmm. That's one reason why we've launched the Summer Youth Blast Pass program, mm-hmm. because I do feel very strongly, hey, you don't have to go to Paris to have your first transit experience. Let us teach you.
Yep.
And just that independence, that mm-hmm. open to the world.
I wouldn't have had a job otherwise. I didn't have a car.
Yeah.
That's how I was going to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love hearing that. So one thing that is new in our industry, and TARDA's been at the forefront, which I always like to celebrate mm-hmm. and kind of ring the bell, because I think the community was used to TARDA like being one of the last to implement things. But no, here we are, one of the first, is our microtransit service, TARDA Flex.
Wonderful.
And that's really public transit doing a Uber or Lyft kind of service. Mm-hmm. We have the TARDA Flex app. We have TARDA Flex Zones. Mm-hmm. And it's been hugely popular.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. If anything, we're just struggling to keep up with the demand. But we have three zones, and they cover our suburban areas that often become transit deserts. Mm-hmm. They, just because of the way development is, we can't really justify, or it's difficult financially, that ROI for a fixed route. Mm-hmm. But lots of people still, they're not driving cars. Mm-hmm. They're isolated. And mm-hmm. so our microtransit can get them point to point in their own community. Mm-hmm. For instance, a lot of people are using it, seniors, to get to a senior center mm-hmm. or to doctor's appointments. But a lot of young people would use it. You know, we have a lot of young people who have no driver's license,
Absolutely.
No interest going that way. So, you know, say a young adult and mommy might take the TARDA Flex to the fixed route line. Mm-hmm. The Route 31, and from there they can get to their job or come downtown, mm-hmm. have fun, go to a ball game, go to a walleye
Absolutely.
Game.
And not worry about parking and all sorts of things.
I just wanted to share that because we're coming up on 2 years of that service. Really proud mm-hmm. of our team. We've already been getting very high satisfaction rates when we survey our mm-hmm. customers. It's something they want to recommend to others. It is definitely meeting their needs. And, you know, it's an example of the new TARDA and mm-hmm. how we are looking at new solutions and options.
That is awesome. And to your point, people are becoming more used to some of these more on-demand services and functionality, and for TARDA to be a leader in that is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is. One last story related mm-hmm. to that is one of our regular users of TARDA Flex. Before then, she only had the paratransit service, which mm-hmm. you have to schedule. There is no on-demand option for that. And she just sent a very heartfelt email to all of us about mm-hmm. how, for the first time she could remember as an adult, she could just decide, I want to go with my dog to the pet store. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have to worry about calling a friend, family member, scheduling a week in advance. She just picked up the app, you know, turned it on and requested her ride, and she had a wonderful afternoon.
That is awesome.
It is. And we take it for granted, those mm-hmm. of us who are able-bodied, you know, mm-hmm. can walk to a bus route anytime or drive. Just that luxury that not everyone has to just go where they want to go anytime. So
it speaks to that quality of life.
Yes, mm-hmm. it does.
Fantastic. Well, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. More importantly, I really appreciate our partnership and what we're able to do together at Owens Community College and TARDA together for the good of not only both of our entities, but for the region overall. And I'm very grateful for your leadership and your vision in transportation.
Dr. Somerville, thank you. I just want to thank you as well for this podcast. I mean, you're highlighting some amazing leaders in a variety of areas. So very humble, thankful to be a part of that group. And just, you know, for what you're doing with Owens Community College in this region is really fantastic.
Thank you so much. Laura, thank you so much for being with us. I'm always impressed with your drive to continue to advocate for accessibility and growth in our area. We're lucky to have you. And thank you to all of our listeners. Please remember to subscribe and join us for future conversations. Until next time, take care.